Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Woo, baseball!
You know, the beauty of baseball is you can sit next to your neighbor and have a conversation, or you can just completely ignore them.
Baseball spoken here. It's time for the second game of our radio doubleheader.
That is a reviewable play, but the Yankees choose not to review it.
A swing and a drive to deep right, away back, off the pole, Francisco Lindor.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch, a deep dive on baseball and the hottest topics in sports.
It's 2-2 in the bottom of the sixth, and I just can't get my eyes off that man with the tall head.
It's quite a game, but man, that guy is ugly. You know that guy hasn't blinked this entire game? Just a dead-eyed idiot out on a Thursday afternoon.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch.
We're going to be awesome for you right now.
On 1080.
Hey, one for one. That's about 1,000, dude.
That's baseball, baby.
Help us. Please, somebody help us.
The Fan.
Yeah. Hey, I remember syrup sandwiches and crumb allowances for this.
Hour two of two here on the Hot Corner. Patrick's out, so it's just the Lynch and Joe edition until 9 o'clock. Had John Sakanik on the show to talk Mariners in the first hour. And just a reminder, we found the Terry Collins audio on YouTube. It's only been posted today, so MLB will likely take it down. So if you want to watch it, it's been tweeted on Joe Fisher's Twitter, at JoeFish3, on the Fan's Twitter, at 1080TheFan, and on my Twitter, at MikeLynch27. Quickly, before MLB takes it down again, the Terry Collins unedited audio from the umpire's microphone and of probably last year, I think, of an ejection that happened in a game against the Dodgers for the Mets.
Yeah, must hear audio. I was laughing out loud watching this video this morning.
So we'll talk about that at 8:30, but go listen to it now if you want to get it before it gets taken down.
And also, again, if you're looking for some baseball fighting kerfuffle.
Oh, I was getting there.
Oh, please do. Set it up, sir.
The just had a brawl breakout between the Tejas Rangers and the Los Angeles Dodgers. The brawl starts at home plate as Matt Kemp trucked the catcher, Robinson Chirinos.
Right thumbstick up.
Yeah, exactly. And afterwards, he was out, by the way. Afterwards, when Chirinos gets up, Kemp kind of does a little like shoulder into him. And then he takes exception to that. And Kemp goes, what? And then shoves him in the chest. And then Chirinos takes his glove hand and swings at his face. The bench is clear. I didn't see much else after that. They zoomed out and you were just kind of watching the mass of humanity. But good little baseball brawl for a thing we haven't seen in quite some time. A trucked catcher yeah. from a clearly out base runner. It wasn't even close. I mean, he was out. And then he just went shoulder in, trucked him. Chirinos' helmet comes off. He hits his head on the ground. That's what they're trying to eliminate from the game.
And after seeing that, I don't think I'd want Matt Kemp to try and truck me over. Looks like a pretty big dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not as skinny as he used to be.
No.
So that'll probably be all over the internet too if you missed it. Already on the internet. I just saw a tweet pop up on my feed.
That internet works fast.
It's amazing how fast the internet works.
They're on it.
I did want to talk about Shohei Ohtani there, and feel free to share your thoughts at the Fan text line 55305. So Ohtani has a UCL injury. They're saying it's a partial tear, it may be a full tear. They're keeping it very vague from what I've read. But basically he's likely going to have Tommy John surgery on the elbow. And if that was the case, one report said he would be out until 2020. That's not next year. That's the year after. The other report said that he could come back as early as late this season to hit, because the UCL injury doesn't get aggravated by hitting in the same way or at all as it does when you are pitching. So this is obviously big for the Angels. I mean, they lose their second best hitter in the lineup. Their lineup is not very good outside of Mike Trout, so this is going to be a huge deal for them. They lose a really, really, really good starting pitcher, although they do have plenty of decent arms in their rotation that they can probably they'll probably be okay. But the question for me is, what should the Angels do with Ohtani? If he's going to have Tommy John surgery, should they just let him have a full rehab as if he was just a pitcher and come back in 2020? Or, because of how well he's hit the ball in the major leagues, should they have him undergo the surgery and then come back late in the season as a DH and just forego pitching for now while he recovers and still hit? What would you do if you were the Angels? Text the fan text line at 55305.
Man, that's a, I mean, the tough thing for me, I mean, it's clear they obviously want, they value his arm, I think, more than the hitting, because
that's always been what was said, is that he was a better pitcher than hitter.
Yeah. So, I mean, at this point, it's, you just got to ask yourself, do you just cut your losses at this point, take what you can get and just make him a hitter full time and just appreciate what you can get out of the guy? Cause yeah, the guy can rake. He is a good hitter. And if, I guess you, man, that's tough though, because we can see what he can do on the mound. Like he's filthy.
I think he's a better pitcher than hitter.
Yeah, I agree with that sentiment too. But it's I almost lean on the side of err on the side of caution. It's like, do you really just want to miss him entirely, have him go through surgery and rehab? And like you said, the batting doesn't affect the injury like pitching does. But I find it hard to believe that it doesn't affect it at all. Like, you know, he can't have flare-ups. Like,
I mean, you're still using your elbows and arms to swing a bat.
Yeah, you have a torn ligament and you are trying to do like a physical activity. I would feel like there would be some times where that wouldn't work out well in his favor if he just did nothing but bat. So I'm leaning on the side of almost like, listen, just take what you can get out of the guy, and he can hit the ball and hit the ball well and good enough in the MLB. Clearly we've seen. So I almost say like, just make him the full-time batter at this point, but it's so hard to say that because he is filthy.
I am with you in the earlier sentiment that you said was, I want to err on the side of caution. Leave him out till he's recovered. I know you're not paying him a lot because, I mean, you paid a lot to get him, but his actual salary is not that much because of his age. But to me, Ohtani has the chance to be something really special, right? We didn't start calling him the next Babe Ruth for no reason. Now, I'm not saying he's going to have a career like Babe Ruth. I'm not saying that he's going to turn into a player like Babe Ruth ever was. But early signs point to the fact that he's really good at both hitting and pitching, like really good at both. And I want him to be fully healthy before you bring him back. If he's out even until late season, there's no guarantee the Angels are in the playoff race anymore. To come back to hit, I mean. So why would you even risk it? Just keep him out until he's fully ready to do both again. This text on the fan text line comes in and says, in summation, talking about how Japanese pitchers aren't necessarily ready for the rigors of pitching in the major leagues. They have six-man rotations out there. They have a lot longer time in between games that they pitch. It has not been the case with all Japanese pitchers, but you do often see top pitchers from Japan eventually get hurt. I mean, remember 2 years ago, Masahiro Tanaka tore his UCL. He just chose not to get surgery, and it's worked out okay for him. He basically just did rehab for a year, and it's worked out okay for him. Kenta Maeda has been off and on the DL the entire time he's pitching right now for the Dodgers, top of mind. Hwinjin Ryu has been off and on the DL over and over and over again. Daisuke Matsuzaka, after one good year, was hurt often. You go all the way down the list. There's not many examples of Japanese pitchers who have come to the major leagues and avoided injuries multiple times.
Gosh, that's a name drop for me right there, Daisuke Matsuzaka.
Remember Daisuke? Yeah,
I do.
D-I-C-E-K?
Yeah.
Because we couldn't just spell his name correctly because we're American idiots, I guess.
Apparently not. That's Boston for you.
I think that's a good point, though, is that I think Japanese pitchers do have a tough time, adjusting to pitching every 5 days. Not to mention that Otani's also hitting 3 of those 5 days or more in between his starts. We also had a text that just said, make him get the Tommy John surgery now. The longer they put off, the longer he'll be out. I agree. I agree with that. Just do it. Do it today. Do it tomorrow or whenever the next available appointment is with Dr. James Andrews. And just get it over with, because if he's going to be out till 2020, make sure he's back for the start of that season. You know, at least you're not losing a bunch of money with him injured, because he didn't cost as much as a high priced arm would. But just get it over with. I want to be cautious about it. I don't want to risk it. He just needs to get healthy. He's that special potential of a player that I want to see him get healthy. All right, coming up next, the Terry Collins audio. Go listen to it. We'll talk about it next on The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
8:17 here on your Wednesday evening. Fair or Foul coming up next segment. Talk a little Biebs College World Series coming up at the end of the show. But this audio got leaked today or yesterday, and it kind of took the Twitter sphere by storm. MLB has since removed the original video where I saw it from. Joe has found it on YouTube and has tweeted it out on his Twitter, my Twitter, on The Fan, etc. So you can find it there. It is 2 minutes. It is unedited audio from, I believe, last season. Noah Syndergaard on the Mets threw behind Chase Utley on the Dodgers and got immediately ejected. No warnings, nothing. And the crew chief of the umpiring crew is mic'd up. And if you haven't watched it, I'll just give a brief explanation. He walks up to Noah Syndergaard and goes, "You're done. You're out of here." And Syndergaard tries to pull the, "I'm just trying to throw a bleeping fastball." And he goes, "I know you're going to try to say that, but you know that I can't let you do that in this situation." I'm assuming at some point Chase Utley did some, I mean, Chase Utley is always in these situations because he slides hard and, you know, often goes into second base and is kind of just a slightly borderline to very clearly dirty player most of the time. And then Syndergaard tries to say it again. He goes, "I don't know what situation. I'm trying to throw a pitch." And he goes, "You don't need to play that game, basically." And he goes, "Not in this situation." He goes, "My ass is in the jackpot," which I'm not 100% sure what that means, but we'll get to that in a second. Then Neil Walker, second baseman for the Mets at the time, comes in and goes, "You're not even going to give us a warning." And Syndergaard says the same thing, "Not going to give us a warning." And he goes, "We can't do it right now. The MLB, with this situation, we can't give you warning. You know you can't do it right now." And then he hears Terry Collins screaming at the other umpire, so he runs away from those guys, gets into Terry Collins' face. Collins is cursing up a storm, like, not even, I can't even come close to telling you what it was, because it's that, it, you know, it was that blue that he was going. But basically, Collins is saying, "Why can't you give us a shot? Why can't you let us do that? Why can't you let us do that without a warning?" And again, he reiterates, "We can't do it in this situation. We all know what's happening, but the MLB has our ass in a jackpot." Again, we'll get to that term in a second. He lets Terry Collins vent a little bit, and it was, that's kind of how it ends. He gets Terry Collins off the field, and that's it. It's a 2-minute video. This to me is a baseball fan dream, to have this kind of audio attached to a video. The amount of times I've seen a brawl and had to try to piece together what was being said or an argument just by reading lips, it's every night in baseball. It's like a fun little game you play when you're watching the highlight of something going on. You're like, "I wonder what they're saying." Occasionally, like, a mic off behind home plate will pick up a word and you're like, "Oh, he's cursing up a storm right now." But this is unedited, straight audio of that. And I've always been curious how the umpires handle these situations too. And because they're basically just getting their heads ripped off for a decision that they made, that at the end of the game, the guy's not going to be mad about it anymore. He just was mad in the moment, or he just did it to try to get his team fired up. And I've always wanted that side of it, to see what the umpires were doing. And generally, I couldn't really tell from most of these things. They always focus on the manager or the player, what the umpire is saying. And I want more of this in sports. And the fact that MLB has taken this down, I mean, it's a real shame that they've done it. I understand why they're doing it. You don't want to put your players and managers, not that Collins is a manager anymore, in a bad light by showing them just with the most vulgar language of all time. But I think it's such great behind the curtain inside access that I want more of in sports. It reminds me of the solo camera shot that we got of the Cavs bench at the end of game one in the NBA finals, where it didn't move for 2.5 minutes and showed LeBron's reaction and showed him asking if they had a timeout, showed J.R. Smith. I mean, if there was audio, it'd be great, but I want more of that. And that is exactly what this video with audio from Terry Collins and the Mets and the Dodgers is. And it's just perfect. Seriously, go watch it if you're a baseball fan. You will be filled with glee watching it because you've always wanted to know.
Well, I think even if you showed a non-baseball fan, be like, wow, I didn't know they could get that mad about baseball. Like, I guarantee you the casual fan or even the non-fan would be surprised at the video itself. And yeah, I'm right there with you. Like, to get those kind of reactions and have them on audio, have that mic'd up. I mean, you get mic'd up in just about every other sport. And granted, MLB, they do like the in bullpen or in dugout interviews, but that obviously is a very much different. They know they're on a microphone.
Yeah,
at that
and that's
point,
like in between innings usually.
Exactly. Well, they've been doing the Sunday Night Baseball or the ESPN. Like in the middle of the game, they'll have one of the managers on the headset. I think it was a couple weeks ago. Benintendi hit a home run on the Astros as AJ Hinch was being interviewed.
Oh.
And so, like,
I didn't see
that. He hit the home run, and Hinch is like, whoa. And then ESPN broadcaster, like, well, it looks like you have some work to do, so we'll let you get back to it. But like I said, that's a lot different than this because, granted, they know that they're mic'd up, but Terry Collins wasn't mic'd up.
No. It was just the crew chief of the umpiring crew that was mic'd up.
Right, right. So, I mean, I loved it. Yeah, that's. That is definitely raw reaction from Terry Collins, from everybody in it. And I think for the people that say baseball is boring, show them that video right there.
I want to know why he was mic'd up. And if you watch it, the camera is specifically on him.
Right.
Is that official video? Does Major League Baseball actually mic up its umpires to help with further suspensions after
and
a
calls
brawl
and stuff? And maybe that's why they took it down too, because that was, maybe it's like that video is not,
that's like their own personal camera
video. But granted, it was the shot of behind the pitcher,
right? But then it cut to
the umpire.
It was literally following the umpire,
right,
which on the broadcast they would never do.
Yeah,
so I'm very curious where that came from. Now for him saying that his ass was in the jackpot, I don't know what that means. My guess, and we had a texter guess this as well, he goes, is the ump saying he'll be fined by the MLB for letting brushbacks get thrown? That was one of my guesses.
The
jackpot meaning money, meaning he's going to get fined. Another guess I had, or just trying to figure it out, was him saying that because he kept repeating because of the situation. He was very vague about it, but he said because of the situation we're in, we can't let that happen. It makes me wonder if that umpiring crew had mishandled a previous situation with brushbacks or with a brawl, and the MLB kind of came down on them and said, you can't let this happen. So maybe they had a previous time where something like that had happened, or he's just specifically saying in this situation, AKA whatever happened with Chase Utley, they knew that it was going to boil over and they just couldn't let it even get to a warning. They had to make a quick, instant decision to throw out Syndergaard and Terry Collins. But that, to me, again, it's like part of the fun. That's, I'm assuming, umpire lingo. That's amazing, you know? And that's something that I've never got a chance to hear before. I mean, umpires tend to be available after the game for interview from the media, but they only ever get questioned if they eject, they throw somebody out of the game or whatever. But maybe... I want more of this, Joe. I want more behind the curtains, behind the scenes stuff. It just adds so many layers for the fans.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. Like, sitting there watching it this morning, I think I said it earlier, it's like I laughed out loud watching it because I was like, holy crap, I've never seen anything like this before. This is awesome. Because, yeah, it's a bunch of guessing game stuff. It's just like, oh, man, I wonder what he's saying. And obviously they're just so irate, talking so fast, so many words, and they're flustered. So, yeah, the lip-reading game in those interactions is it's impossible. And I think if you want to add a little excitement in these rare moments where you get brawls or these interactions and everything, yeah, I think they should do this more often and have it more readily available to the public. Obviously, if the language isn't as colorful, because then it's just a bunch of bleeps, like you were saying, we can't play the audio because you can't really get the vibe of it with just a bunch of beeps going on. But yeah, I love that, dude. Like, yeah, sign me up for that every time, for sure.
We got this text that said the best tweet on the original tweet, I guess, that we had was, I would pay extra money to watch baseball with umpires mic'd. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Could you imagine Angel Hernandez mic'd up and just barking at people for being pissed at a strike zone? That'd be amazing.
Well, and you're not going to get, you won't get any of this with robots that behind the plate and robots calling outs and fair ball and everything like that.
That is true.
No emotion.
I am very anti-robot umpire.
They have robots and computers have no human feelings and passion and emotion. So, I mean,
well, if movies have taught us anything, that's not true, Joe.
I would love to
if
see.
If Westworld has taught us anything, that's not true.
Managers that just out on the field for an hour arguing with a computer. Computer's not going to give in. Best believe it.
This text says, growing up in Virginia, watching Baltimore, Channel 20 would show mic'd up fights of umps and Earl Weaver all the time. So we've lost it then.
Damn it.
We've lost the...
That's Baltimore, though.
That is true.
That's, you know...
There is a vibe.
There's some grittiness over there.
About the Baltimore area. But, yeah, I didn't bring it back, man. If we can get this, if it somehow gets leaked, just bring it back. Let's see more. Let's see what, like... But this wasn't a brawl. Let's get a brawl mic'd up with the umpire in the middle and just hear, like, 17 guys just screaming curses at each other.
Yeah, just the scuffles. Guys, stop. Wait.
Whoa. I got nervous you were actually going to say something there. Yeah, I want more of that. Like, I want what just happened with the Dodgers and the Rangers. I want that.
Yeah.
I want to see what Matt Kemp said to Chironos and what he said back. Come on.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Keep texting in. Fan text line 55305. Coming up next, it is time for Fair or Foul or Forf, as we are now calling it.
Or is it fact or fiction? Because sometimes I get that mixed up, too.
Well, I know what the name of it is, Joe. It's your segment. You should probably know what the
name
of it is.
My goodness.
Here is Joe with SportsCenter.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
That music means it is time for Forf.
Yes.
Fair or foul.
Fair or foul. So, earlier, John was on. You guys were talking some Mariners, playing pretty good. And with that being said, is when the trade deadline comes around, the teams that are playing good try to get some players to be even better and make that postseason push. So, fair or foul, Mariners will add a starting pitcher at the deadline.
Ooh.
Because personally, I think that is what they are in need of most. They are getting good starting pitching, but I think they could use a good ace to push them over the edge to make them very good and give them a deep run, possibly.
I'm going to say foul, and that's not because they shouldn't try, but because there really isn't that many good options out there for an ace or a good starting pitcher. Currently, if you exclude the Syndergaard, DeGrom stuff, which we didn't get to in the show today, where they said they might be on the market.
Or did we, Mike? Might be coming soon.
Might be coming
in fourth.
Well, we might be getting to that. But with those two, I'm going to ignore them because we're not sure. And I'm going to ignore Madison Bumgarner because I'm not sure. The best starting pitcher available is Cole Hamels, who is doing fine this year.
Old.
But old and nowhere near his old self. Now, if I will re-include the better pitchers, I don't necessarily think the Mariners have enough in their farm system to go get a Syndergaard, DeGrom, or Madison Bumgarner when other teams are also going to be going for those pitchers who have more in the farm system than the Mariners do. So I don't want the Mariners to make a trade because they feel like they have to if they're going to go get a Cole Hamels. Man, I never thought I'd say it with that kind of a voice like 6 years ago. I'd be like, Cole Hamels, yeah, go get him. So I'll say foul because even though that might be the thing they need to do, I don't think they're going to find a deal that's good for them.
Fair enough. All right. And this is going to be the third one, but I'm just going to hop it up to the second one since you mentioned it. But Jacob DeGrom, Noah Syndergaard, it's been floating around that they might be on the move, might be on the market. I don't know if the M's are a legitimate destination like you were saying. I personally don't think they are. But with all this is going around, those two pitchers in New York, fair or foul? DeGrom and Syndergaard will both be traded before the deadline.
I'll say foul. Now, the Mets, who started off, remember, 11-1, everybody was all over the Mets. They are now
those 12 games to an MLB season to start really tells you a lot about how the rest of the season will go.
Well, they're 28-36, so they are 17-35 since that point. They are dreadful offensively. Wow. And I mentioned it earlier in the show, Jacob DeGrom is pitching unbelievable. And in his last 10 starts, the Mets are 2-8.
Right. Yeah.
So
not get much help.
And Syndergaard's currently hurt. He's actually been getting hurt more often recently, which is a bit of a worry. But I do think if the Mets continue down this road, they will trade one of those pitchers. I think it'll be a little bit too much given away if they trade both of the pitchers.
I think so too.
In one trade deadline. I think they should keep one. Look, I'll say this because I'm a Yankees fan. I want the Yankees to go out and get one of them. They need another starter. They've got a super deep farm system. I'd be down to give up a couple of good farm players to get Jacob DeGrom. Yeah. Guarantee you the Yankees can give us some run support. Hopefully. So I'm down for that. So I'll say fair. They'll trade. Well, I'll say foul, but they'll trade one of the two by the deadline.
And you think that will be?
Probably DeGrom because he's older. DeGrom's already 29 or 30. Syndergaard's still young and has better stuff. So I think they'll try to keep Syndergaard.
All right. So those were the two opinion-based ones. We moved on to our fact-based questions of fair or foul. And it was noted that Paul Goldschmidt wasn't doing too hot to start the season. Even had someone text in about the fantasy grind, whether they should trade him or not. But Paul Goldschmidt has definitely turned things around here recently. But fair or foul, has he turned things around that in the last 30 days, Paul Goldschmidt leads the National League in home runs? Fair or foul?
Ooh. Trying to think now. I'm going to say fair. Paul Goldschmidt's been, I mean, he was like, hey, I'm bad. And now he's not. Now he's good again. Now he's back to hitting 330. I mean, he's not. He's hitting like 240 still. But he'll get back to that range if he keeps going this way. I want to say I've seen him hit like 7 or 8 or 9 home runs in the last 30 days. So I'm going to say fair. I think he's leading the National League.
It is foul.
Oh.
You are fair on that guess of 8 because it has been 8 home runs. Okay. In the last 30 days, which is good for tied for second.
All right, well, let me
in the
see,
National League.
Let me see if I can guess.
The who, two that are...
Well, just the guy who's in first.
Okay.
How many home runs does he have?
10. I really don't think you're going to get it.
And it's the National League.
Like, if you get this, Mike, I will be very impressed.
All right, don't tell me. Give me the next question. I'll think about it. I want to see if I can get it.
Okay. And then we go back to the AL West. Mariners, they beat up on the Astros recently and Dallas Keuchel. And honestly, Dallas Keuchel hasn't been very good at all over the last 30 days. Really this season at all. I think he's 3-8 overall record. But over the last 30 days, fair or foul, Keuchel has the worst ERA among qualifying pitchers.
In both leagues.
Both leagues. In the majors.
Whoa. Fair? I know he hasn't been pitching well. I know he's the one guy in the entire staff who's pitching really, really poorly. So I'll say fair.
It is foul. He is second to last.
Oh, but I thought there's no way he'll do it again.
I know, I'm being mean. But yeah, he is second to last. Let me get it pulled up. I just had it. He's got a 7.33 ERA over the last 30 days.
Oh, my God.
Only person higher than him, Andrew Cashner of the Baltimore Orioles. Alex Cobb. It is Alex Cobb of the Baltimore Orioles. Yep. Go figure, right?
Cobb has been horrific.
7.43 ERA over the last 30 days. But yeah, Keuchel over the last 30 days, 7.33 ERA, 3.45 opponent batting average, which is second highest in the league also. And he's given up 41 hits, which is tied for fourth most in the majors over those 30 days.
So,
and it hasn't really given up a lot of home runs or walks.
He's getting hit.
A lot of singles, doubles, just guys getting on base via hits.
And they leave him in because they know he can eat innings, and I think that makes it worse. They don't pull him in the first. They leave him in for six innings, and he gives up like three more runs at the start.
Yeah.
My guess, because you said I would never get it, I started thinking about the lesser-known home run hitters that have happened recently. Is it the Villanueva guy from the Padres?
It is not. No.
I was going to be really, really happy.
Same division. Yes.
Oh, God. So Dodgers, Giants, Rockies, Diamondbacks, and it's not Goldschmidt.
I really don't think you're going to get it.
If he's hit 10 home runs in the last 30 days, I mean, I feel like I should know who it is.
Right. And honestly,
I know the player?
I honestly don't know. I have never heard of this guy in my life before I looked this up today.
All right, just tell me.
It's Max Muncy.
Oh, the Dodgers?
Yeah, of the Dodgers.
He's a third baseman?
Yes, third baseman. Max Muncy.
Wow.
Or Muncy, either.
I don't know. It's Muncy, yeah.
10 home runs.
All right.
And then Goldschmidt's tied with Jesus Aguilar of the Brewers. He's also hit 8 home runs in the last 30 days. But Max Muncy?
I would have never guessed Max Muncy.
Like I said, dude, I didn't think you would. And if you did, my God, would I have been impressed. That, Max Muncy, though, apparently good. 10 home runs, 22 RBIs, .307 average over the last 30. Maybe looking at him for fantasy.
But Justin Turner's back. So is he playing a different position then?
Well, I thought Justin Turner's also kind of day-to-day with that wrist.
Yeah,
still.
But he came back today.
Well, I don't know. You need to find
He homered today.
You need to find some time for Max, though. Dodgers.
Wow. Max Muncy. You are right. I would have never in a million years guessed Max Muncy. I would have gone through the entire Padres roster that I knew before I got to Max Muncy.
And I was even thinking about
Corey Spangenberg would have came out of my mouth before Max Muncy.
I was even thinking about giving you a hint, like they're on the TV right now, his team is, and I still don't think
I still wouldn't have gotten it.
Even with the Dodgers.
I might have said Matt Kemp because he's been hot recently.
Right.
But no, I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have said it.
Max Muncy, baby.
Wow. All right. That's fourth. We do it every single week at 8:30. Coming up next, we'll switch gears to college a bit. Oregon State once again into the College World Series and their favorites. This is The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Last segment here of a Harris-less edition of the Hot Corner. Mike and Joe with you. You can catch us on the Les Schwab Tires podcast as well if you missed any of the show. That's where you can find all the podcasts of all the fan shows if you missed it live. And I wanted to give a little love to Oregon State baseball, even though I'm slightly conflicted about it. If I can bifurcate the fact that a certain pitcher is on the team that I would like to not support and that I like that Oregon State is good at baseball, then I can support the Beavs once they get to the College World Series. And they are going to the College World Series after they beat Minnesota in the Super Regionals. And by most places, they are either the first or second favorite from what I have seen. Vegas Insider, which is, you know, kind of a compiler of odds, says that they are second favorites, 10-1. Florida, 8-1 is the favorite. But also a tweet that I saw yesterday, Sporting Media odds to win it all. I'm not sure if that's an actual, like, college baseball magazine or if he's talking about generally people who he polled or they polled. Oregon State, 27% think that they will win the College World Series this year. 23% for Arkansas was the second most on that list. Washington in last, 3%, the other Pac-12 team that made the College World Series. I do want to kind of just dive into it for a second, though, the reason why I have to bifurcate. I haven't really wanted to support Oregon State baseball this year. You know, I haven't wanted to because of the Luke Heimlich stuff. And it's hard for me to watch the team play and separate it in my head. It's hard. I know the rest of the kids on the team did nothing wrong, hopefully. But it's still hard for me to separate it. Although recently, as the regional and the super regional has started going on, I've had an easier time when he wasn't pitching to be able to root for the Beavs and say, hey, this team is really freaking good. They had two guys, I guess technically three guys, drafted in the first round of this year's draft. I want to see how they play. I want to see what they're doing. And I've been able to separate it a little bit more to enjoy watching the Beavs. So I am very interested in watching them play in the College World Series, unless Luke Heimlich's starting, and see if they can pull it off again and get their third College World Series title. They open up against North Carolina, who they beat for both their first and their second title back in the late thousands. So a little bit of a grudge match, if you will. I know none of these players had anything to do with that. That was 10 years ago, but a little bit of a grudge match perhaps between those two teams. And I'm interested to see how Nick Madrigal and Trevor Larnach do the first round picks for the Beavs in the College World Series.
Hey man, I'm keeping an eye on my boy Adley Rutschman from Sherwood High School, my hometown.
Ooh, and he used to be the kicker for the football team, right?
Yeah, and honestly, I just realized this the other day, and I'm glad that I realized that it happened and I was there for it, but he was kicking for Sherwood, their football team, and viral video went out when he nailed a 63-yard field goal.
I remember that.
And someone brought that up today. They're like, wasn't that the kid? And I was like, holy crap, yes, it was. And I was there for that. That is awesome. And, yeah, so he's nailing 63-yard field goals in high school and then getting game-winning RBIs in the Super Regionals for the Beavers. And I'm pretty sure he is just a sophomore. I want to say he is just a sophomore because last year, I believe, was his freshman year. And he's a stud. He's probably going to go first round next year.
And he was doing both in his freshman year, right? Didn't he try to go for the football team and play baseball at the same time?
Yep.
And then he's going baseball full time?
Yep, that's exactly right. So, obvious story, the big story from last year that's continued over is Luke Heimlich on the team. But I caught myself looking at the roster because Swag, you know how he does his little printouts of the teams and all the events going on. And I was looking at the roster.
Sorry, Swag, I almost never used those.
Hey, I know, but it was sitting there. So I decided to grab it and just look through the roster, just check out some stuff. And that's when I see a lot of other local kids on the team from Washington and Oregon. Obviously, you have your out-of-state kids, but there is a good mix of Oregon and Washington kids on this team. And so I'm rooting for them. I like to root for the local kids because it shows everyone around the country, hey, we got some good baseball players up here in the Northwest.
Oregon State plays on Saturday, I believe 11 a.m. on ESPN against North Carolina. I'm looking at a bracket. I'm assuming it's an Eastern time. So 11 a.m., Mississippi State plays Washington. That's at 4 on Saturday. Then Sunday, you've got Arkansas, Texas at 10. And then you've got at 3 o'clock, Florida and Texas Tech. So Oregon State could potentially play Washington if Washington beats Mississippi State and get a little Pac-12 matchup in the second round of the College World Series this year.
That'd be cool.
It would be cool. Washington, I'm going to feel like an idiot for not knowing this. Did they win the softball World Series or did they lose to Florida State?
Well, don't feel like an idiot, Mike, because I don't know.
God.
Yeah, I know. Who you said they were playing Florida State?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know, honestly. I felt like if Washington would have won, I would have seen a lot more things on my Twitter timeline about it and then probably seen or saw a video of Cam hooting and hollering about it on Instagram or something. And since I didn't see any of those things, I'm going to say no, Washington did not win it, and Florida State did. Waiting.
Well, it's not easy to find, Joe.
I was trying to drag out that sentence.
Is Florida State eliminates UCLA? Well, that was from the previous round. I don't know.
I'm trying to drag out because Cam Cleland of One Washington Husky alumni did not say anything
I am going to guess they did not win it. Have you still not found it, really?
It's not easy to find. I'm not lying.
Just Google Florida State, Washington.
I Googled Softball College World Series 2018. Shouldn't that be the same thing? Don't mind me typing, Joe.
Actually, and it's not College World Series for the women. I don't believe they call it that.
Florida State wins first softball championship. Found it.
I want to
Washington
know.
Lost, but Washington made the final. I'm sorry for being an idiot who doesn't follow softball.
And
out
honestly,
there.
I think we had two texts roll in during that whole time that said that they lost while we were trying to find that.
Well, when I'm Googling it, I can't look at the text line. Yeah, so even though Washington lost, they make it to the final against Florida State. It'd be kind of cool to see them, if Oregon State does lose, to see them go far in the College World Series as well as a Pac-12 fan. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for dealing with us for 2 hours. Patrick should be back next week. So we should all be here then, 7 to 9, for another 2 hours of Hot Baseball Talk. Thanks for listening.
Well, I spent some time in the Mudville night, watching it from the bench.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.